here this morning. One ear on the radio, one ear on the TV. March Madness about to get underway on KCCI with Michigan State and Mississippi State. Away we go. That's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Look forward to that and every single one of them, or as many as we can watch. But in particular, paying close attention tonight when it hits close to home, does it not, with Iowa State taking on South Dakota State at 6:30, followed half an hour later by the Drake Bulldogs and Wazoo. What a day, both teams in Omaha, so a lot of college basketball conversation coming up. Here's what's coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We'll speak with two of our colleagues. First of all, we'll get Sean Roberts in here. He's in Omaha covering Drake. He will join us to give us kind of lay the land, set the scene for us. Sean Roberts coming up at 11:30. We'll give four of you an opportunity to win some grub from the chicken coop. That'll come your way at about 10 minutes before noon, so be listening for that if you haven't participated in the contest in the last 30 days. You are eligible to do so. Justin Miller is the producer of the Morning Rush. He's also the sports director at our sister station in Ames, 1430 KSI. That's where Iowa State plays in Story County. Justin Miller on Iowa State. We'll recap the press conferences from yesterday, etc., with Justin. And then David Eicholt will join us about 12:30, 12:25, somewhere in that area. Talk about the Hawks, comings and goings. We now know that the men play on Sunday night, 8 o'clock tip. ESPN2 has that one as they head to Utah. So a lot of ground to cover with David Eicholt when he joins us at about 12:30 or thereabouts. Trent's plays of the day. To wrap things up here, Circa Sports sponsor those at 10 minutes before 1. Good morning. How are you? Do you like a game early that we should be aware of?
I'm all about Mississippi State. Told you earlier in the week that was one of my dark horse picks for the Final Four.
Uh-huh.
Like their path, like the matchup. Got to get there. And this is one thing that is frustrating me throughout the years. There's so many times that I've been able to identify either a number one or number two seed getting knocked off.
Vulnerable one, yeah.
Yeah, before the Sweet 16. But a handful of those times, I picked the wrong team coming out of the first game. That eventually knocked off that one or two seed in the second round. So I remember the year that UAB got Kentucky. I don't remember who UAB played in the first one. I had that team, though, beating Kentucky in the next round. Same thing in the year that Iowa State lost to Hampton. I had them losing in the second matchup. They're not losing to Hampton. Mm. Was it Georgetown that they would have played?
I don't remember what that was. I mean, obviously, the story that dominated right, next morning.
And we think of Steve Merfeld with the legs in the air.
Kicking his feet out, the little Steve Merfeld. That was... I mean, they showed it for years,
yes.
Right? I don't know if they still do or not, but here's hoping that we don't get Eric Henderson doing the same tonight.
Right.
As we have a 15 versus a 2. Watch some of the press conferences from yesterday. You know what? I came away thinking that I just watched T.J. Otzelberger in front of a microphone at his best.
Really?
He was really good. Usually he's kind of short with the answers a little bit. Seemingly always looking at that man, he's focused. He is focused. If his team, you know, takes anything from their head coach and what we've seen throughout the years, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State should be fine. But, yeah, I thought TJ was really good yesterday. So away we go on that one. Going to be wild. Going to be fantastic. Can't wait. I do want to just we'll get back to it in a second. Are we on the cusp of maybe one of the biggest stories in sports in some time? Am I way over the top on this? Because we're talking about an international superstar in Shohei Ohtani, who is got some splaining to do, right? Not only to the Dodgers, but to the feds, because this story and the turns that it's taking, the ebbs and the flows, the changing the story within a matter of 12 hours or wherever it was from, you know, he wrote a check to lend it to his buddy, then all of a sudden it was theft. And then you see Ohtani and the interpreter in the dugout yesterday morning, game one of the two-game series in South Korea. You know, buddy, laughing, yucking it up, etc. Trent, I think that this is a story that's just going to... I think it's got a chance to catch fire. And I'm not saying that we're going to be Pete Rose redux, but I'm not saying that I'm wrong either.
Really? You're going to see...
I'm not saying he's better on baseball, but he's betting. I think he is.
Which is legal, correct?
No, he's betting with a bookie.
That's illegal.
He's been with a bookmaker.
Right, yeah.
And he's transferring that much money, and that's against federal regulations. Uh-huh. And this was a bookmaker that got busted in October.
I see where you're going. Okay, yeah. I follow you now. Initially, California, that's mm-hmm. where he's been.
You can't bet in California.
Right, absolutely.
There's no sports wagering, believe it or not, which is weird, but that's the case.
Yeah, and you said, because we know, well, I'm going to Oklahoma this weekend. Yeah. Tribes are huge there. Florida,
yeah.
That's been a big contingency there.
And that's the hang up in California and in Florida.
In Florida.
Uh-huh.
What about Texas?
They...
Is it the Bible thumpers?
I think that's it. Just think that they don't...
Because I don't know for sure. I don't think of tribes when I think of Texas. Yeah. That's more of an Oklahoma mm-hmm. thing. And you understand, obviously, the power that they have as it pertains to gambling mm-hmm. In this environment there. That's the one that I didn't get. But, yeah, California, that's one that, another one that doesn't exactly jump to at least top of mind for me. But you've told me before, that's a big reason behind it. But
it is.
They don't have legalized sports wagering in California.
They don't. The tribes are too powerful.
So I get where you're going now. Okay.
And the other thing is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was able to secure $4.5 million worth of credit.
I'm sure he gets a good salary. You work for Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
You know, he's not making 80 grand a year. Mm-hmm. He's probably well compensated.
Right.
Because not only is his interpreter, I mean, he is with him
constantly.
All the time.
These are best friends.
Yes.
And one of his best friends, in my opinion, took a fall for a major international superstar. This isn't just on in the United States. Mm. This guy is massive around the world. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, on the penultimate day before the tournament started, we had the whole Caden Proctor thing that dominated yes. the Open. Now, today, on the day of the tournament, we have this thing fall into our laps. This kind of feels like this is good timing for Ohtani because mm-hmm. the nation is going to be focused on what's going on. Kind of feels like that Friday news dump in some respects, but pay attention to this one, folks, because I think it's just it's not going to go away. It's not just going to be swept under the rug. The Dodgers are closing their ranks. Nobody's talking. Ohtani's got guards around his locker. He's not talking anymore. So we will see. The fact that they changed their story within 24 hours, no, I just didn't pay off his loan when they actually have seen checks or they've seen wires and in the, what's the memo area of the wire? LOAN. No, he wasn't alone. After all, he was robbed, apparently. So we'll see where it goes. Anyways, we're going to go back to basketball.
And much like I'm sure much of the sports public out there, I saw the story last night. I watched the investigative journalist that was working out of for ESPN, her hit on SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. That was, I don't know, probably 5-6 minutes long. I mean, it was a
long
piece.
And whereabouts did it fit in sport? Was it the lead story?
It was just when I flipped it on. I don't know, you know, if it was in the middle
maybe
of it.
Maybe they were coming back to it.
Right.
They could have been, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly if it was the top story or anything like that, because I just flipped it on, and that's where I went right away with SportsCenter, and they were talking about it. And I watched, and it was really well done. Uh-huh. I thought, interesting.
Her name starts with a T, I think.
Trish Thompson.
Trish Thompson. I think you might be right.
And
I know there's T's involved.
But I had so much stuff to do mm-hmm. for the NCAA tournament right. that it was that 5 or 6 minutes, and I didn't even get, but your thought process is spot on, but it's something just because of that, and I'm gonna guess I'm not alone. Okay, this story, that's it.
Right.
It's kind of odd, it's weird,
mm-hmm.
but I gotta get my bracket filled out.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta fill out my 80th different stupid pool that I'm in.
And then you gotta make a because we're in the Bet Rivers contest,
yes.
which is a blast.
Yes.
And you will not be able to participate once you leave the boundaries of the state of Iowa, as you're going to head out to town tomorrow. And this is mean. Maybe the Iowa DCI gambling experts can lend their knowledge to me.
They help us out a little bit.
not good. Anyways, major story.
I had to take a peek. We're staying in Kansas tonight.
So there is gambling there.
There is. Not with Bet Rivers, though.
Okay.
They are available in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia.
Not in Kansas.
West Virginia. Not in Kansas.
So you'll have to make your plays
in
advance of that. It's going to
be a blast. So Saturday will be a quiet one for me mm-hmm. In the Bet Rivers contest. So hopefully today and tomorrow the bets that I got in there, hopefully they cash and we can add a little bit of bankroll. And when I get back inside the state borders on Sunday
fire
evening,
away.
Boom, 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 get into those night games. I might have to be playing some NIT, some women's games to kind of catch up to everybody.
Well, we'll be
else.
Watching some NIT on Sunday night mm-hmm. as Iowa takes on Utah. But we got a couple of games before that. Do we get Drake and Iowa State on Saturday?
No.
Who?
It's Washington State.
You think Wazoo beats them?
I don't love this Washington State team. I told you I saw that game against Arizona when they had a chance for first place, and they actually won that game, and they were incredibly impressive there. But that was one game, and it's against Arizona, who has their own set of issues, as we've really seen throughout the time. Losses to teams like Arizona State, to Cal, not losing to an Oregon or a Colorado, even that next tier. They got blown out by Mississippi State earlier this season. But with Washington State, their size that they have, I think, is going to cause some problems for this Drake team. And, and that's what I keep coming back to. They're good defensively, really good on that end of the floor.
They've got a really good player in Jones.
And if they can bottle up Tucker, I think they win this game. It just seems so easy, so awesome, so great for our state that we would get that game.
Yeah.
And what it would mean when we come in afterwards, after the weekend, and have that to react to, how incredible it was. There's this little caveat.
Yeah.
Both teams got to win their first games. Right, and it's just that sneaking suspicion.
What's the point spread doing on the Drake-Wazoo game?
A lot of Drake money.
Is there?
Yeah. I read Patrick Everson, who...
Covers.com?
Yeah. And I think you know Patrick, right?
Yep.
Really good. If you're looking for a foul in the sports wagering space during college football season, every Saturday morning, he's bouncing from book to book. He goes to three, four, five throughout the course of the morning.
Yep.
And not only that,
whoever's paying him.
Yes. And then he's talking to different sports book operators and telling you where the public money is,
what they're seeing,
where the sharps are. Ticket count at BetMGM was 3-1 in favor of Drake, from his report this morning. Couple other places. One of the operators said they did like being on the Drake side. They were fine with it. And if they took Washington State money. So kind of differing opinions on that one. But the betting public is on the Drake Bulldogs. If I would have uttered that to you in your 28 years of doing this, how many different years? You'd just be laughed off, right?
Yeah.
Here we are. In the NCAA tournament, the betting public likes the Drake Bulldogs.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I wouldn't know if we could have gone back to when they took on Western Kentucky. I'm guessing they would have loved the Drake Bulldogs in that one as well. Ty Rogers had other plans that particular day at SOB. Just broke their heart as the bracket opened wide up for them. Anyways, we'll see about that. If you could only watch one today, not the two locals, is there a game today that moves your needle more than the others, whether from a betting perspective or, gosh, you just want to watch this game? Is there one of those?
Yeah, it's definitely the Kansas State-Samford game. I mean, that is, what, an 8:55 tip, so it'll be late night. It'll be them and Drake that'll be flipping back and forth between those
two. Are you like most of the public that think Kansas is going down?
I am. And I was, even before the McCullough news came out, I was on that front. It's style of play. The lack of depth from Kansas, coupled with, now you couple it with McCullough being out.
And Dickerson being hurt, and I don't care what anybody says he is.
And he could still have a great game. We've seen that plenty of times.
Yeah, he's going to play.
And they lose.
Yeah.
Samford plays a ton of guys. This is like watching Patino's
teams. So you've seen them play.
Yes. This is like watching Patino's teams play. They get up and down the floor. They press all over the place. They force a ton of turnovers. They play really nine guys extensively, kind of rotating them through, and it's in elevation. Those lungs that are going to be sucking wind when you only are playing five guys, if you're Kansas against this kind of style. Now, also with that, you get into variance, and something that I bring up a lot because it is important, they could also shoot themselves out of the game. And if they go suddenly 4-28 from three, well, yeah, Kansas is going to win. But all things being equal, not only do I think Samford's a live dog plus a 7.5, I think they can win this game outright. So that's the one I would say was probably towards the top of my list for the games today.
You know, I will remind folks, and I want to remind, I hope you'll remind us again this time next year. This trend that you put out a couple of days ago, this 16 versus 16, Trent, it hit again yesterday.
Yeah, had a little bit on the money line.
And the game went to overtime, which you didn't need.
I was not rooting for that.
because you were getting a decent, how many points was it, 6 or 8 in the end? 6.5?
5.5.
Oh, it went down to 5.5.
Well, and it was yesterday morning. It was 4, 4.5.
Oh, I thought it was the other way.
No, it was Montana State got a ton of steam yesterday.
Okay.
And that thing kept trending up throughout the course of the day, and I was kind of mad at myself because I could have got a better number than I did when I bet it the night before, or that bet on Tuesday evening that I first put my bet in on that one. But it's a trend that you see these games, they're incredibly close matchups.
16 versus 16, take the dog.
Take the dog.
And take a little test on the on the money line.
Yes.
And you would have cashed, if you would have bet that on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, you know, the point spread and the money line, and came back with it yesterday, you would have cashed all four of your tickets.
Yeah. And even if you
Bulldogs won outright.
A quarter unit on, or even a half unit on the money line in each of those. I mean, you're talking being up 7 units before we actually even get to the real bracket.
You can't beat that.
That's right? A good start.
And there's a pretty good chance that 90-something percent of the people that never watch any of these teams play.
No.
You're betting it blind, as you said yesterday, but you take that trend.
We had gymnastics last night for the kids, so I was there with my earbuds on watching the games as the kids were doing their thing. And Jack came over. He gets over done about 15 minutes before Ella does. And I'm watching the game, and he goes, oh, the Hawkeyes are playing. Seeing the Grambling jerseys now. I was watching it on my phone. He couldn't see the little red tint.
But good for Grambling, right?
Yes.
Finally getting in and winning a game.
You know, we talked about this the other day, maybe yesterday, about them. I just figured Grambling, one of the most well-known historically black colleges, right?
I think it
because
probably
of Eddie Robinson.
Sure.
Them and Southern playing in the Classic for how many years?
Every year.
Yeah, on NBC.
Every
and that would
year.
Be one of the few games that weekend that you'd be able to get. So watch a lot of Grambling football. But I didn't realize for basketball for a number of years, they were NAIA. They had the graphic up. They were D2 for a long time, too. They hadn't come up to the D1 level until relatively recently,
okay,
within
so
the last
that
35
explains
years.
Something, but still,
yeah,
that's still a long time.
Yes, to never have an NCAA tournament appearance
right.
for a program like that. Really fun to see. Love the crowd shots and the way Dayton supports it, too.
Oh, they love it.
Now, if we get the expansion.
They won't have it by themselves.
They can't.
No, it just would. It wouldn't work.
Would it work here?
Putting two of the games here?
Yeah.
And do it, and we get it knowing that we get it every year?
Every year.
But we have to give up the first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
No, because Dayton still gets that as well from time to time.
Then bring it on.
Do you think that we could support it the way that Dayton has? They sell that building
out. They sell it out.
Every
That's
single
true.
Time.
Yeah.
There's
That's
always, it's a 13,000 seat arena, and at minimum, there's always 10, 11, 12,000 in there. It's something that they have adopted and made their own, and it's been a big deal for them in the commerce inside the community. I kind of think we would. I think this is something that our community, I think, could get behind. We see recently what happened when we first got, obviously, the women's tournament. What a big deal that was for those Sweet 16 Elite Eight games. Now, it helped that we had Tennessee, Baylor here.
Yeah.
That helped out a little bit, too, having the name brands that were in the building. We've been able to support that. We've been able to support the first and second round. What other communities, and I think Des Moines got to be towards the top of the list. Omaha would be another one,
sure.
I would anticipate.
Yeah.
That would probably have a shot because you can't put that thing in.
But you know what? Omaha's
Dallas.
Got the College World Series. They got their standalone event.
That's fair. Yes.
You know
absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
You're good.
Yes.
You don't deserve, well, you might deserve it, but you're not going to get it because it's unfair. You brought up the women, which opened the door. I want to say this. I read the piece by Wright Thompson, Being Caitlin Clark. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I have no idea who Wright Thompson is.
You don't?
I don't.
He is the best sports writer, and it's not even close of our time.
Maybe I don't read long form.
Yeah.
You know,
He wrote
the attention
definitive
span
piece
maybe to do that.
On Tiger Woods.
I'm going to go back and read those.
Yes, on Michael Jordan.
And Dan Gable, is there one on?
Yes, there's a Dan Gable one that was incredible. He is, you talk to writers, he is as well-renowned. Us, we're like, you know, the Rick Riley's back of the day.
Yeah.
This guy is so far past that.
Yeah.
The way that he paints a picture.
Oh, my God.
I haven't got through the whole thing yet. Got about, not even quite halfway through.
It takes time.
It
I mean,
does.
If you got kids, make sure they're in bed because they're going to interrupt you.
Yes.
It is a phenomenal, phenomenal read. You get to know more about Caitlin Clark, her family, her teammates, her time at Iowa. How she got there. Oh, I'm not talking about it anymore because I want you to read it. I don't want to spoil it. Trent, it tugs at the emotions.
Yeah.
It truly does. God, it's a good read. It is an incredible read. And it's almost over.
It is. The next L.
Yeah. The next L, it ends. And just the end, the final paragraph of the story. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You saw the West Virginia women's coach, right?
Yeah.
What he said is we're going to go there, win a game, and then we're going to end Caitlin.
Yes.
I mean, did Mark Kellogg kind of step in it there? You don't want that coming out against Caitlin Clark, do you?
Why would you poke the bear?
Right.
Why would you do that?
It's so much of when we go back to 2020, watching the MJ documentary.
Yeah.
The motivation of these
at the breathe that type of air.
Yes.
Right.
To be up there, it's the last thing you want to do. You don't want to give them motivation. You don't want to give them any kind of chip because they take that.
And I took that personally.
Yeah, I took that personally. I mean, that's my first thought. What are you doing, Kellogg? Yeah. Well, you can't say that against Caitlin Clark.
No.
Don't do that.
Nope.
Family say no.
And the fact that and I get it, there's a percentage of people out there that don't like the way she plays, right? That don't like the histrionics and the pouting and the it's just part of her. And the actual to find out that Jan Jensen and Lisa Bluter have clips of her in practice doing this, and they show her this is how you look when you do this. Right? Oh, it's phenomenal. What a job Wright Thompson is. What an incredible writer. As I came to find out only yesterday that this guy really is, I'm so glad I read it. It takes about, carve out 20, 25 minutes, 15 anyways. A very good read. All right, we're going to hear from Sean Roberts. He's in Omaha. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Justin Miller will join us at the top of hour number two. We'll take a look at Iowa State. I'm sure the boys were at both of the press conferences yesterday, so we can double dip both of them, but that's awesome that they're there. I know Heather's got a press pass. I believe she's headed down there today, so KXNO will be well represented in Omaha, watching a pretty special event. It really and truly is, isn't it?
It's one of one.
Yeah.
And we are underway. The music has played.
Is it has?
Balls in the air. As away we go, and the Michigan State Spartans are out to an 8-4 lead over my Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Well, that's not good.
Certainly.
In this case, it's our Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Oh, you're on them, too?
I'm on them, too, in the Bet Rivers contest.
Oh, boy. Apologies.
All right, we will get Sean Roberts coming up here. We'll take our time out. We'll come back with that. Who do we have tonight broadcast calling the games? Have you seen...
I have it. I'll pull it back up, and we'll get that coming out of the break.
Okay, we'll do that. Sean Roberts joins us next. If you haven't played for the Chicken Coop giveaway, we're going to give you the Iowa State game. We'll give you the Drake game. We'll make up point spreads on the Iowa women. Likewise, the Iowa State women, as they're out in Portland. They play tomorrow night. You know what? I'm not sure how far Fenley's team is going to go. But it's just great that they're there with this young team, right? And we know that they're veteran in Ryan coming back for next year. This will be good for them. This will be a really good experience for them. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Our number one is underway. Sean Roberts, live from Omaha, Miller and Condon, on a Thursday, a tournament Thursday at that. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, Michigan State, Mississippi State, underway. When's the next one go? 10 minutes.
Yes,
BYU and Duquesne on True TV. Let's get Sean Roberts in here. Off to Omaha we go. He's got a late night ahead of him, as we all do, as we'll be watching those Drake Bulldogs take on Washington State. Sean, thanks for coming on. Good to talk to you. Got your credential. You're set. You're over there. How are you?
I'm ready to go. What's going on, boys? This is March. We're here. Let's go.
Absolutely. Have you seen the blue carpet? Did you walk on the blue carpet?
The blue carpet as far as...
To get out onto the floor. I remember that Korver made a big deal about that. He was excited to play in the tournament because he wanted to walk on the blue carpet that the NCAA puts down.
So yesterday, the only carpet I walked on was black carpet. That's all I saw.
Okay.
So we also didn't come out of the tunnel where the players came out of. We came out of the media tunnel. So that could be a different,
like, maybe
carpet could be a thing. I just wasn't able to walk on.
Gotcha. No big deal. So, what was the attendance like for the open practices for both Iowa State and Drake? A lot of people, a lot of locals made their way over to get a little taste of March Madness.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. There might have been like 20 people there.
That's it.
For both, I mean, maybe Iowa State had, you could add 10 more people.
That's it? What?
I thought, Justin and I were sitting there, we talked to Brian Harden. We were like, because in Des Moines, it's a big deal.
It is.
You know, and I never got to the shoot arounds in Des Moines, but I was expecting a lot of people, and guys, there might have been 20 to 30 people there, if that.
What else was going on in Omaha, Nebraska?
Yeah, and it wasn't just like an Iowa State and then a Drake thing. Like, I'm talking 10 people might have walked out after Iowa State, and that, like, it was weird. It was weird.
Interesting. Yeah, when it's here, that's not the case.
Right.
I remember going...
No, and yeah, and not saying, like, it's not... it'll be packed today. But
sure.
Yeah, just... I thought shoot-around would be like, you know, we come out of the press conference. I was so jacked to get in the arena.
Because
I stayed for the Drake press conference. Justin went out and watched open practice for Iowa State. And so once I got done with Drake, I was like, I'll get out there. And, I mean, there might be more people at a, you know, AAU game than this shoot-around.
Wild. Absolutely crazy. Well, we do it right here, not like those nerds on the wrong side of the river over there in Nebraska. All right, let's talk a little bit about the matchup. Let's start with the Bulldogs tonight. Washington State, big team, very good defensively, obviously coming out of the Pac-12 and not as some of the Pac-12s we've seen in the past, but it's been a solid team, really, on the back half of the season. When you look at this matchup here, what kind of concerns you the most from a Drake perspective?
Size.
Yeah.
Size. Mm-hmm. Size and rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, you know, Brody was asked yesterday, you know, with the size that Washington State has and you know, kind of what's going to be the plan of attack here for Drake. And he was kind of, Brody just in Darnell Brody way, was just like, well, I'm big. I can take care of it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. You know, Isaac Jones is a name I keep being.
Yep.
You know, told a lot of
that's the one.
15 points a game. Yeah, 15 points a game, 7 rebounds. And this, like you were, I was listening to you guys. This team has size, and that's going to be interesting to see how Drake's able to do that, because, you know, where Drake succeeds is where they're able to, you know, obviously, Attenwright, Tucker DeVries, they get going from outside. That's great. But when they're really going is when they're able to get the basket. Basketball down low, and when you're going up against size, man, that all of a sudden you're not. That's going to be trouble for Drake. And it's going to be interesting. You know, I think a lot of these teams' plans of attack is, okay, let's try and shut Tucker down and let other guys beat us. And mm-hmm. if that's the case, you know, guys like Attenwright, Kevin Overton, Darnell Brody, Connor Enright, they're going to have to step up. But yeah, I would say the one thing that concerns me in this matchup is just the size, and that's all I've been being told when it comes to Washington State is size and rebounding.
Yeah, and the other thing that would concern me is if they you get a bad whistle. I mean, if Brody picks up a couple mm-hmm. of fouls in the first 10 minutes of this basketball game, so we know how Fran McCaffrey handles that. I mean, if you pick up your second foul, you're on the bench for the remainder of the first half in 99% of the games. How does DeVries handle that? If Brody was to pick up his second foul, obviously it'll take him out for, you know, a period of time, but would he stay on the bench for what's ever left in the first half, Sean? And how does he handle, you know, his big in this case, picking up his second foul in the first half?
Ken, there's a couple things that you can, I mean, you can, there's a couple things when it comes to Darnell Brody that you can follow, right? Whether it's fouls or just the flow of the game. If Darnell's out there and you go, you know, the first 5 to 8 minutes, and not necessarily fouls, but if he goes the first 5 to 8 minutes and really hasn't gotten a board, maybe he's missed a couple defensive assignments, he's missed a couple layups, Barron usually takes him out and will bring Nate Ferguson in just to kind of like reset Darnell a little bit mm-hmm. and kind of say like, okay, you better figure it out, man, or I'm taking you out. Foul trouble wise, usually it's maybe one or two if it's early, and I'll take him out and maybe until maybe the end of the first half. And Nate's been really good this year as far as picking up those minutes and kind of, you know, getting them to when they can bring Brody back in. But, you know, everyone wants to talk about Tucker, and understandably so, but Brody is going to play such a major
role. I think he's the key.
Yes. And really, you know, Ken, most of the time, Brody is the key for this team, mm-hmm. you know, because if he gets cooking down low and if he can get a couple rebounds early and if you can tell if he's into the game, which obviously this is March, he should be, I think Drake has a really good chance at winning this game. If Brody struggles, it's going to be really tough for this mm-hmm. Bulldog team to beat this Cougar team.
Very difficult to shoot the ball against them this season. Washington State teams are shooting just 25.6% from behind the arc this season. That is very, very low. One of the best in the country in that mark. I mean, it's a kind of a simple equation, right? knock down shots if you're Drake, you're able to do that. But schematically, kind of game plan wise, what do you anticipate? You know, Tucker DeVries is going to get a whole lot of the attention here. Is this going to have to be a game where we see a Wright or an Overton or an Enright, one of those guys, get going from the outside if they're going to pull off the win?
Every game for this Drake team is like that. If Atten, Wright, and Kevin Overton are knocking down shots. I mean, we saw it at Arch Madness with Atten Wright, who had, you know, I mean, he was first team all tournament. If he gets going, and you've kind of seen this throughout the season, if he gets going, this team cooks. Like, this team goes to a different level. If Atten Wright can show up today, and if he gets 15-plus points, I think Drake wins this game. If he's struggling, if he's not knocking down some shots or knocking down some threes, this is gonna, again, there's so much where, like, okay, if Brody has a good game, right? You need Brody to have a good game because he's your size. You need Atten Wright to come step up tonight, and you need Atten Wright or both him and Kevin Overton to step up and knock down some shots because Tucker's going to get hit. You know, and I know just from being here yesterday and talking with Tucker, and there was something you could, and maybe it's being back in Omaha, you know, there was just something. You can just, when you look into an athlete's eyes, you can go, oh, okay, that dude, he's ready. Yeah. He's ready to go off. So I would expect a big game from Tucker, especially after that disappointment from last year. Mm-hmm. Where he went 1-for-13 against Miami. So, but no, Atten Wright and Kevin Overton, Darnell Brody, those are my three keys for Drake to be able to play on Saturday.
I'm guessing that this name has never been uttered on in sports radio in Des Moines, but he's on the Drake roster, and the only reason I bring him up, Sean, is if worst case scenario, right, if Brody is in foul trouble, Northweather plays a little, I mean a very little, but he's 6'10". Might he be a guy that you wouldn't expect to play any minutes, but might he get some minutes done if Brody's in foul trouble?
Ken, when I don't see that happening. Uh-huh. Not to say never. You know, when Northweather came here last season, there was a lot of excitement around his game and that he was going to be able to help spread the floor. He's a big that can knock down threes. At least that's what we were told. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a knock on Eric. I mean, he's a great kid. And the minutes that he's gotten this year have been, you know, the final few minutes
right.
of the game,
essentially. Yeah.
And he's come in and he's hit his shots. And, you know, I don't know if this is the game that you want to throw him out there, but I also I wouldn't be shocked if Darren wants to do something different and try and switch some things up, and it's just going to depend on the flow of the game. I would not expect that unless Drake's up 10 with 30 seconds left. But yeah, I would give that a small percentage.
All right, so Nate Ferguson's got the pressure on him if Brody's going to be in trouble, huh?
Yes. Look to Nate here. Mm. Look to Nate here.
All right, I want to go this direction. Sean, you've become a big part of the Drake community here over the last couple of years in your emceeing duty. I know you met a lot of the fan base there, some of the old-timers. What would an opportunity against Iowa State mean for that program after the home and homes went away, now the Big Four has gone away? When you've talked to people inside that Drake community, how important is it to get that matchup against Iowa State?
It would be massive. I think it's massive for the Drake community. I think maybe not as massive for the Iowa State community, but I think it would be massive for the Drake community. I think it would be massive for us. I think it's massive for the state because you don't get that 4-team matchup anymore. And I know that irks Drake fans. I know it irks you. You know it irks you and I fans because that's their time to really show that they can belong. You know, and you know as a fan standpoint, I don't like the matchup for Drake from a matchup standpoint if they got to play Saturday against Iowa State. But also at the same time, you know, for a lot of the people that I talked to Sunday at the selection show, I talked to fans going, oh man, I don't want Iowa State, you know, in the second round. And I think it's more from an advancement standpoint. I don't think it's necessarily they don't want to play him. I was like, you do though. Like, this is what we talk about. This is as a Drake fan, this is what you want. You want, and it's the competitor in me too. You want to go up against the best. And this is your opportunity. And if you want to go where, you know, you hope that this great team can go, you're going to have to go through some giants. It just is what it is. So I think they want the challenge. I think we all kind of want that matchup. Obviously, I heard you guys talking about it. Like, just for the sake, it's a dream type matchup. And to have it here in Omaha in round two, like, let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, strap it up. And so I think Drake fans have that mentality. But I also think in the back of their head, they're like, man, It would be nice to maybe get that in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, but, you know, second round, whatever.
No, he signed for it. You know, back to where we started, not the carpet, but the fact that the shoot-around was so sparsely attended. You know, I guess to be fair, Drake and Iowa State fans probably heading over today is mm-hmm. probably not an indicator of how packed the bars were last night, because you don't need a hotel room on Wednesday night. You know, if you drive down 2 hours over there, for crying out loud. So this is a different set of circumstances, I guess, Sean, to put a bow on this.
Yeah. And, you know, I walked over to, we're staying at the media hotel, the Hampton Inn, right across from the ballpark. And so I went over and had breakfast with our buddy Teddy Holly, who owns Beer Can Alley. And they had the We Will deal last night, and there was you know, a lot of Iowa State fans there. But I went and had breakfast at his hotel with him this morning, and there was a lot of Cyclone fans in that lobby. So, you know, maybe shoot around just as like, you know, we don't need to go watch teams shoot half court shots and dunk a little bit. But you know, their Drake fans are coming in. They're going to have their deal at Let It Fly, which is right across from the arena tonight.
By the way, have you been over there?
To Let It Fly?
Yes.
Yeah, Justin and I had dinner last night. Walters was there.
It looked phenomenal. Yes, what a spot.
I took down a one-pound burger last night.
Attaboy.
It got brought to the table, and Justin like looked at me like I was crazy, and I just looked at him and I go, this is March.
Stand back. This is March. This is March. This is March.com.
Yes.
Coming soon.
Available.
Available. Hey, brother, happy you're over there. Way to go. Thanks for doing this. I will speak with you tomorrow. Trent's off tomorrow. So if you're back, jump in the studio. If not, we'll do it on the phone, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah, the plan is if Drake wins tonight, I will be staying here in Omaha. If they fall to Washington State, early morning for me, head back, and I'll be in studio tomorrow. So I'll join you in studio, Ken.
I hope we're talking on the phone, brother. Thank you, Sean Roberts.
I agree. Yep. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Hey, Sean, still there?
Yeah.
Any sponsors we need to give a shout out to?
Nope. Not today. I'm here just covering it for the radio station.
Got it.
No sponsors or anything like that. But I'll be doing the show at 3:00 today.
Oh, good.
I'll be doing the show. Yeah. I'll be doing it from here in the hotel. I saw it's chaotic around here. So I'm like, you know what? For the listener standpoint, it's probably just easier and better for me to have a nice place to be able to do a 3-hour radio show.
Yep, set up and do it there. Thanks, Sean. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yep, see you, buddy. Sean Roberts from the Drive, obviously, as we check in with him over in Omaha. We'll do similar with Justin Miller, but from an Iowa State perspective, he's the sports director at KSI. I'm so happy for these young guys.
Oh, it's awesome.
It really and truly is.
I remember when I got to do the Final Four, right when we made our way here. Mm-hmm. It's just an experience that's incredible.
It is.
Being able to cover NCAA tournament games, it's awesome. It's so good.
And the excitement they're not youngsters, but they're new to this, right? And they're going to take this format and continue it on for 20 or 30 more years, hopefully.
So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Well done, Sean and Justin.
I got to make my yearly bitch fest. You ready for this?
What happened?
Well, I'm watching, of course. I got my Bulldogs coming back. Mississippi State's cut it to 5.
Yes.
We're getting back into the game. Just underway. Duquesne, a 5-0 lead against BYU. And I got another tab up here as the NCAA wrestling tournament is happening. Something you know is near and dear to my heart.
Right on top of the basketball.
It's idiotic.
It's
dumb.
Ridiculous.
It is some of the, we talked about the lack of forward thinking yesterday from the NCAA at the highest levels. What is the sport of wrestling doing?
I have no idea, Trent.
Continuing to bang their head against the wall.
Yep.
And the idiotic response that I've heard from so many wrestling fans.
So what was the pushback?
Well, we sell out the building every year.
Okay, fine, but you're not getting eyeballs on television.
Right.
You need to grow your sport. We've got you.
It's not about the 18,000 people that go every single year.
Wrestling has those 18,000 people already.
It's about growing your sport. Make it a one-semester sport. Push everything back a month, 6 weeks. Start at the second semester. Start in January. End in the middle of April. Mm-hmm. You are going to increase tenfold the amount of viewers that you can get going up against not just the NCAA men's basketball tournament. The women's basketball tournament is also happening at this time. It is some of the most ridiculous thing. They would have to adjust the international wrestling calendar a little bit.
Okay.
But we're not talking about anything significant. We're not talking about putting this thing in the summer. You're pushing back the calendar 4 weeks. In order to do that and the amount of increased viewership that you can get and an ability to grow your sport, it's something that needs to be done. My guy Doug Schwab has fought for it, the head coach at UNI for years and years and years, and he just continues to get pushback from the old guard, and you're going to kill your sport. Your sport was on the chopping block at the NCAA level. You are down to, what, 80 programs at the Division I level? This is something you need to do to grow your sport. And if you're not thinking that way, you're going to be left. And as we see the changing dynamics of college athletics.
Trent, what's going on at the weekend after the Masters?
Nothing.
Zip.
Nothing at all.
Game 8 in Major League Baseball.
Put it there. It is a perfect opportunity to do it.
Yes.
Why they won't, I just can't wrap my mind around.
You're preaching to the choir, my friend. Right now, 515-284-5966. We'll give you four games and a tiebreaker. If you get the most right, you will win a $50 gift certificate from one of the three chicken coops here in Des Moines area. The runner-up will get 20 wings. If you haven't played in the last 30 days, you're eligible. 515-284-5966. Chicken Coop giveaway next, Miller and Condon. We are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Chicken Coop, three locations. What a great place to experience March Madness. Weren't we there this time last year?
2 years ago.
2 years? Was it that long?
Yeah. And we saw the Hawk. Well, you were home at that
oh,
point.
Oh, that's right. Jeez.
Crap the bet against a terrible Richmond team.
Yes. thanks for bringing that up. Anyways, we will give you an opportunity to win $50 gift certificate. The runner-up gets 20 wings, three chicken coop locations, Urbandale, Ankeny, and West Des Moines. Jim, Terrence, Corey, and Russ. The tiebreaker, so you can give it some thought in advance of you coming on with us, is Drake's and Iowa State's total points tonight. Not who they're playing, the Bulldogs and the Cyclones, their combined scores. Jim's up first. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Drake's a point and a half favorite over Wazoo.
I'll take Washington State.
All right. Iowa State gives 15.5 to the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State.
Iowa State.
Iowa State women tomorrow versus Brenda Freeze's Maryland squad. Pick 'em. Who do you want?
Maryland.
We don't know who Iowa's playing, but we know they're going to be a 33.5 point favorite.
For our purposes.
For our purposes.
South Carolina women are favored by 53.5, by the way.
That's wild. So when the women hit the floor, we're going to make the number regardless of their opponent because they're playing in one of the 16s versus 16.
You're not getting to Carver tonight for that one?
I'm not going to, Trent. I'm going to watch Iowa State and then Drake. Mm-hmm. Iowa is a 33.5 point favorite, Jim.
I'll say Iowa.
Okay. Here's the tiebreaker. Bulldogs and Cyclones tonight will combine to score how many points closest without going over?
148.
Have a wonderful time watching the tournament. Jim, thanks for participating.
I will. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Terrence is with Miller and Condon. Hello, Terrence.
Hello.
Drake gives a point and a half to Washington State.
Drake.
Iowa State, 15.5 over South Dakota State.
Iowa State.
Iowa State women or Maryland tomorrow?
Iowa State women.
Iowa will win or will cover 33.5 points regardless of the opponent.
They got to cover the 33?
Got to cover 33.5.
The opponent.
Opponent for you. Drake and Iowa State will combine tonight to score how many points, Terrence?
152.
Enjoy the games. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Corey's with Miller and Condon. Hi, Corey.
Hello.
Drake, point and a half over Washington State.
Washington State.
Iowa State, 15.5 to the Jackrabbits.
Iowa State.
Iowa State women or Maryland?
Iowa State women.
Iowa women, 33.5 over to be determined.
Iowa women.
All right. Drake and Iowa State combined tonight to score how many points, Corey? Closest without going over.
120.
Thanks, Corey.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. And Russ brings it to a close. Hi, Russ.
Hello.
Drake, a point and a half to Wazoo.
Drake.
Iowa State, a 15.5 point favorite over South Dakota State.
South Dakota State.
Iowa State women or Maryland women? Iowa women minus 33.5 versus TBD.
TBD.
TBD for you. Drake and Iowa State tonight. Combined points closest without going over.
130.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to the Chicken Coop. Three locations, West Des Moines, Urbandale, and Ankeny, just south of the DMAC campus. Hour two coming up next. Back to Omaha. Justin Miller covers Iowa State for KASI. David Eichold covers the Hawkeyes. We'll get into some Hawkeye topics or two with David Eichold coming up here at about 12:25. Trent's Plays of the Day, Circus Sports sponsor those, Miller and Condon. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.